Welcome to the Rant and Rave podcast, a production of Rogue Machine Theater. I'm your host, Sarah Fenton. This month, we're bringing you stories of adventure. And here's Ron Batita to introduce our next writer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to Rogue Machine's Rant and Rave. George McGrath performed with the Groundlings from 1983 until 1992. He's been nominated for 4 Emmy Awards, 2 for writing Pee-wee's Playhouse, and 2 for writing and producing Tracy Takes On. Ladies and gentlemen, George McGrath.
Adventure. My understanding of the word is something that happens when you leave your apartment and do something that might involve physical activity. Or a kayak. I got nothing. So I actually looked up the word adventure, and dictionary.com says it means an exciting or unusual experience. And I thought, unusual, I can do. This is my coming out of the closet story, someone else's closet. I've never been really good at being gay, except for putting together my CD collection, which is super gay. I haven't been in a gay bar in decades, but back in the day, I gave off a vibe that attracted guys who were wrong. 2 celebrity gays tried to pick me up in bars in Hollywood years ago. I think my point will be clarified if I mention their names. Laugh-In's Alan Seuss and Wayland Flowers Without Madam. Ask your grandparents. Wrong. I did have a live-in boyfriend once, but after a few months, he decided to move to Virginia to become a priest. Anyway, it was 1973. I was 19. You're going to do the math anyway, so I'm going to say it. I'm 62. This is where I like to hold for audience shrieks of disbelief. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I was hanging out on an area of Shore Road, the last street in Brooklyn under the Verrazano Bridge, which was and probably still is a cruising area. My friends and I would often end up there after the bars and see if we got lucky. At this time, I would like to remind everyone that Jesus said, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." Anyway, the Shore Road routine began by leaning against a bench. A passing car would slow down, check you out, speed up and check out everyone else. Then if you were the cutest, they'd make a U-turn and end up back in front of you. The driver would make the universal hand and head signal for, "Hey, come in my car for some sex, why don't you?" If the person was a former English teacher, you pretended you were blind and they'd drive away. Murky contact lenses had previously made me make some bad choices. I once got in a car with the bus driver who had driven me to high school every day my senior year. "Hey, aren't you..." On this night, a Cadillac stopped, driven by what I could best describe as a taller, handsomer, more Italian-looking 19-year-old Sean Penn. I don't know if he was suffering from a contact lens condition, but he thought I was pretty cute, and we drove off. I lived in a tiny studio apartment with a girl I worked with at the post office. I had never even considered bringing a date for a sleepover. Laura never said I couldn't, but I wouldn't have sex with my dog in the same room. And Laura was a person. So going to my place was not an option. My Italian, let's call him Joe, suggested we go to his family's house. I was leery, but he said it would be fine. He had his own room, and in the morning at breakfast, we would say I was a friend of his from sleepaway college. I was still leery. I had never eaten breakfast with anyone's parents, including my own. But he was very convincing. Joe unlocked the front door and led me into the dining room. He poured us both a glass of wine and made a toast. We clicked glasses and everything. If I had heard of Meg Ryan at that time, I'm sure I would have felt just like her. We spoke quietly, but he seemed relaxed enough not to whisper. Then, with wine glasses in one hand, he took my hand and led me up the stairs, past his parents' bedroom, to his at the end of the hall. We were quickly out of our clothes and under the covers. I heard the sound of high-heeled slippers clicking down the hallway and a woman's voice. Joe? Joseph? He pointed to a closet, and I ran into it. I wasn't able to close the door completely. There was about a half-inch crack that I got to watch the floor show through. His mother continued knocking as she said, Joe? 50 more times, her voice getting a little edgier with each one. Joe threw on some boxers and opened the door, acting like he just woke up. His mother was dressed in pink from head to toe, a head full of pink curlers, a pink floor-length bathrobe, and the aforementioned pink high-heel slippers. Why was your door locked?
Oh, I didn't even know I locked it.
What's going on in here?
Nothing.
I thought I heard you talking to someone.
There's no one here.
Joe's acting was good, but no match for his mother's suspicious mind. If no one's here, why are there two glasses of wine? Joe was stumped. Do you have a girl in here? She wished. Through the crack in the door, I watched her storm to my hiding place. Did I mention I was completely nude? My heart was pounding. She swung open the closet door, and when she saw me standing there naked, her world came crashing down around her like a piñata filled with broken light bulbs. Oh my God! Oh my God! I said nothing and made a beeline to my clothes on the floor next to the bed. I got my underwear on and she shrieked, what have you done to my son? And various other remarks that I would have to classify as homophobic. I was trying pants on with one hand and grabbing the rest of my clothes and shoes with the other. Joe deflected her fury, screaming,
he didn't do anything. I'm gay. That's right, mother. I'm gay.
At this point, I heard his father's voice. The mother screamed, get your gun! And I ran, half-dressed, into the street. To make the night more magical, it had started snowing. Before I got far, Joe called my name. He caught up with me and we both finished getting dressed. I guess he thought he was going to have some family stuff going on that would have kept him away from joining me, but there he was. He had told his mother he was leaving with me and wasn't coming back. I explained my living situation, but coming back to my place was our only option. We walked in the snow the 35 blocks or so back to my apartment. He had just been through the most traumatic moment of his life, and I had just been nude in front of somebody's mother. So we were both a little shaky. He took my hand, and although the streets were empty, it was the defiant gesture of a guy who had just come out. 35 snowy blocks flew by like 20. The next morning, we both realized that staying at my apartment wasn't going to be an option, and he finally called his sister, who convinced him it was cool to come home. He called me from a payphone that night and said everything was okay. He was going back to school the next week, and maybe I could come up and visit him. I just sounded like another date that might end up with me nude in a closet, so I declined. I remember him and the events of that night more clearly than what I did yesterday. When I first put this story down on paper, it was because I thought it was funny, and it is. It's got me nude, running down the street in my underpants in the snow. I mean, comedy gold. But in putting a readable version this for tonight together, I was struck more by how sweet it is. Joe and I spent less than 24 hours together, and 40 years later, I have never experienced a day that was more, I don't know, romantic. He left his whole world and had ended up with just me there for him. It felt like he left all that for me, which couldn't have been true. I was a guy leaning against the bench the night before. He chose his family or the gay guy, and I just happened to be him. The emotional drama had bonded us in a way that would have taken a year under any other circumstance. And no one else has ever poured me a glass of wine and made a toast to us or held my hand walking through the snow. He looked at me and spoke to me like a man who was going to get through everything as long as I was there with him. He was just a guy, and I was just a guy, and for 24 hours, we were the loves of our lives. I'm not going to start singing The Man That Got Away, unless anybody... But I am glad I am able to remember more than the nude scene. Romantic memories are harder to come by than hilarious ones. P.S., I have never been nude since.
That was George McGrath on Adventure. Thank you so much for listening, and join us next week when we have a story of teen angst in Spain. Rant and Rave, the podcast, is a production of Rogue Machine Theater. Our executive producers are John Polono and myself, Sarah Fenton. Our guest co-producer this month is Mary Jo Smith. Series producer is Daniel Goodman. Webmaster is Amanda Maurer. And our podcast theme music is by Heartbreak and Not a Strong. I'm Sarah Fenton. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.